This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what do I listen to?
That's The Big Payback. Revenge, I'm mad, says James Brown. Going out to the Memphis Grizzlies as they try to avenge their worst loss of the season tonight against the New York Knicks.
So, I mean, it is numerically the worst loss. Was it, do you think, the worst drubbing in...
Yeah, I think it was the worst game they played this season. So it was the biggest loss in terms of point differential. They lost by 37, which was their biggest loss of the season. It was, if you just look at pace-adjusted stats. It was their worst defensive game they played this season. It was, I think, their third-worst offensive game. It was the most turnovers they've had this season. It was the most opponent fast-break points, the most opponent points in the paint. All that is just a way to pick apart a very common thing that happened in that game, which was turnover, Knicks layup, turnover, Knicks layup, turnover, Knicks layup, over and over and over and over again.
Does it make sense that happened against the Knicks, by the way? Does it?
Kinda. The Knicks have not been a good defensive team on the season, and in fact, the Knicks and the Grizzlies are both bottom five defense since the trade deadline, which is not a good place to be. But the Knicks have been a below-average defensive team on the season, but what they do have is big physical perimeter defenders, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, and those are the kind of players who, like, when you play aggressive on-ball defense, can exacerbate the Grizzlies' turnover problem, and that's what happened in that game. But I just think that was the Grizzlies just – that was more about the Grizzlies than the Knicks to me, that game in New York. That was, the Grizzlies just imploded from the jump in that game.
Right.
It was like a really terrible
one of the performance. The mysteries to me is why the Knicks – you know, they went out and got every big perimeter, you know, 3-and-D guy in the world, basically. Give up 5 first-round picks for Bridges, and they got an OB and whatever, and they – Their perimeter defense, their three-point shooting defense in particular, has been horrific. Why?
Well, you're starting Towns, and starting Towns at center. Minnesota went out and got Rudy Gobert because they didn't want to play defense with Karl-Anthony Towns at center, right? And so that is a bad starting point to a team defense, is to have him as your center, because there's a – it's not just that, you know, at the rim, because you're talking about three-point shooting, but there's a trickle-down effect to that, right? I think that's part of it. Other than that, so three-point shooting stuff sometimes can tend to be a little noisy. So, I don't want to make too much of some three-point defense stats necessarily. But I think, you know, you got Towns at center, which I think has a trickle-down effect on team defense. And then you're starting – you're sort of small otherwise, because now you have Anunoby, who's basically a power – kind of a small forward. You're playing him at the four, or maybe you're playing Josh Hart at the four, and he's 6'5". There's some of that. But I don't know. I'd have to watch them more closely. It feels like they designed their team to try to defend Boston, and they just keep losing to Boston in the regular season, so who knows. Right.
So you've got – it is interesting because you got these two teams that – I mean, you talk about this before – that are you heard you said it in the podcast again. There are three elite teams in the league this year, and the Knicks and the Grizzlies are not included in those three.
Yeah, so there's three teams with a winning percentage above 700. That's obviously Cleveland, Boston, and Oklahoma City. Then there's five other teams with a winning percentage above 600, and the Grizzlies and the Knicks are two of those five. So if you look at, like, Group 1, Group 2, the Knicks are 0-7 against Group 1.
Right. I was about to say, the Knicks, they're 0-6 against the
Grizzlies are 1-3 against those teams.
Yeah, because the Grizzlies beat the Celts.
Right.
Who are the others who are in the threshold of the next five?
The Knicks, the Grizzlies, not necessarily in this order, although I think in this order. The Knicks, the Grizzlies, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and the Rockets. And if you look at that group that the Knicks and the Grizzlies are in, this sort of second group, there's a difference there, and it's not a good one for the Grizzlies. The Knicks are 4-2 against that group of teams collectively.
Oh, internally, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the Grizzlies are 3-7 against those teams. So the Grizzlies haven't been good against the first tier or the second tier, particularly. So it'd be nice to get a win against a second tier team tonight.
Yeah, it would be
on
nice.
On the home floor.
It would be nice to get a win. Eh, you know, whatever. These wins, it does feel like so many of these big win, important win, whatever else. Like how do you gauge that?
Yeah, it's one game out of 82, and you know that matters in the standings. But I think, just generally speaking, I think the Grizzlies, there's an awareness not only among fans and observers, but I think internally, that like they haven't been great against the better teams. And it's not just, as I just pointed out, it's not just the top three. It's like they're 1-3 against Houston, and they're, I think, 1-2 against the Lakers, and 1-1 against Denver, 0-1 against the Knicks. So there's not a winning record in any of that, right?
Right.
And so I think the team to feel better.
What are they against the Bucks?
I think they're 2-0 against Milwaukee.
There you go.
Milwaukee's the next level down right. from there, right?
Yeah. It's grasping.
And so, you know, I think you would like to have more success against better teams to feel better about yourself as you go toward the playoffs.
Yeah. They got Mitchell Robinson, it appears, will be back tonight. His season debut tonight.
Towns is questionable.
They're both questionable. Yeah. And it is gets back to what
and
you
I
said.
And I think Bane is questionable.
Bane is also questionable, yeah. It gets back to sort of what you said, is that the Timberwolves had success when they paired Karl Anthony Towns with Rudy Gobert. And so you wonder, will adding Mitchell Robinson to the mix here.
Yeah. I mean, I want to step back because the Knicks are having success right now, right? Like, you know, I mean, they're tied for the fourth best record in the league, and Towns is putting up great numbers. And I think they're like second or third offense.
Right.
It's a defensive thing, right? So will you improve your defense by playing Towns less at center? Yes. But how much are you going to hurt your offense, right? The goal is to outscore the other team however you do it. And so there's a real question there. The Knicks also just aren't deep. And so if they have, like, a center who can, like, protect the rim and do and rebound, and they can give them 20 minutes a game of a good player, I think that's helpful generally to them.
If you were if you had an NBA team and you could put it in a city that you like, and it's your own expansion team, and you've got all their assets, their roster, you don't have their TV deal, you don't have any of that, but you've got their basketball assets, do you want the Grizzlies or the Knicks?
That's a decent question. Jalen Brunson, you're inheriting the contracts too, right? So you've got Jalen Brunson on maybe the best contract in the league because he took this, like, of course, he took that bargain deal so you could, like, overpay for these other players, right? So you're spending more money across the board. I'd probably go the Grizzlies because of the youth question, because they're younger, and because, I mean, they've been, like, really healthy this season, even playing these heavy minutes with Tibbs. But, like, Ananobi's got a history of, like, pretty bad injury stuff. Towns is, you know, I think there's more cost and more risk on the Knicks side. And so the Grizzlies, you know, I think you're younger. You have a longer runway. You also have, I'm inheriting the draft pick situation. I think that's a little bit better on the Grizzlies side, too. And so, yeah.
It is interesting because you talked about the growth, some of the growth that's, I mean, the Knicks kind of are what they are, right? I mean, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of growth.
They're not old, but they're not young either.
Right.
It's like all five of those guys are like right smack in their prime.
Right. With the Grizzlies, I think Jaren is what he is now, pretty much. You know, if you're going to get a better Jaren, that'd be great. But he's still only 25, but seems unlikely. You can get better than this combination of Jaren. I guess what could he could be better at rebounding or better than...
You could always make small things.
But he's
reached an all-NBA level play. It's hard to ask for more than that.
It feels like, is what he is. You can imagine a better Ja than we're getting right now.
You could just imagine the Ja you've already had.
Right.
Is an all-NBA level play.
Here's the thing, though. How much really is there ceiling to the young guys that they have?
It's a good question. Like, I don't think any of them individually have all-star ceiling.
Right.
You know, in your wildest dreams, you can imagine G.G. Jackson
maybe,
an all-star.
Yes.
But I think they all have room for very, not all of them, many of them have room for significant improvement.
Right.
So the Ringer came out with they update it once a month, their NBA rank thing, either today or yesterday. And so the Grizzlies have, for the first time, I think, ever in franchise history since this thing has been happening, they have two top 25 players, first time ever, because they finally pushed Jaren up. So you got Jaren and Ja, both top 25 players. And they almost have three top 50, because Dez is at 51, right? But then there's nobody else. And so at the beginning of the season, they had four, because Marcus Smart was in the 80s off of reputation and that,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
And so you look at it, and, like, you know, you got two top 25 guys, another guy's basically a top 50 guy, and then, like, nothing else. And you look at that list, you see some guys that maybe they could have traded for, like Cameron Johnson is, like, in the 80s or whatever, and right. DeAndre Hunter is in the 80s. And there's some of these guys. Dylan Brooks, they let go, is, like, number 90-something, right?
Right.
Like, they don't really have a fourth guy. And so the question is not, can you get another top 50 guy? Because that's just not going to happen. But can one of these young players look up and you're number 82 on the list next year, right? That kind of thing. I don't know if Santi Aldama is that much worse than DeAndre Hunter or Cameron Johnson.
Well,
it may be a reputation
thing. It feels like he can also still get
Christian
better.
Christian Brown from Denver is number 100 on this list. Are we sure he's going to be better next season than Jalen Wells or Vince Williams? I don't know, right? So I think there are guys, you take Santi Aldama, Jalen Wells, Vince Williams, Zach Edey. All four of those guys have the potential to look up and be the 80th best player in basketball, right?
Right.
I don't think they're ever going to be the 45th, you know? And so can you get one or two of those guys to jump up into that range over the next couple years? It's certainly nowhere and no way guaranteed, but I do think it's possible, yeah.
On GG, it feels like they are still making an effort to play him, even though he may or may not earn those minutes. They obviously came in handy the other night.
But that effort has really
diminished
the other night.
Yeah.
The last two games they have.
Which was the game? He had a bunch of threes in the...
That was...
Two games ago. Wasn't it 2 games ago?
It was the Magic game. He had three threes in a row.
But against Cleveland, he played 4 minutes in the first half and didn't play again. And against Phoenix, it was eight minutes.
Yeah, Drew said he was feeling some kind of way about it. Yeah.
Yeah, which is normal. I mean, I just think... It's going to be a hard thing to manage probably for him, and the team is not managing the fan base, but for the fan base to manage for themselves, right?
Right.
The reality is that there's just this gap between the reality of GG right now and the expectations for GG. I think the problem is more on the expectations side. I don't think it's a big deal that he's 20 years old and he hasn't even played a full season of NBA basketball, and he had this injury and shows up midway through the season. He hadn't played all year, and this is a team that's in a playoff race, and it's a hard thing to step back into.
Right. Yeah, we wondered about it even had he been healthy, and he wasn't. He had a really good summer, didn't he?
He had a good summer league.
Summer league, yeah.
But then he got hurt during the summer, right? So he didn't have a training camp at any of that. So I think he's looking ahead to an important summer coming up, that's for sure.
One of the truths that you used to count on, we used to rely on, is that when the big three are healthy, the Grizzlies are really good. And I do wonder.
I was tracking that during the season, and at one point I just stopped because you weren't really getting the real job a lot of the time.
Right.
And at one point, it sort of came together. They were about as good without all three as they were with all three, and there was not some conclusive evidence either way.
Yeah, you know? I kind of wonder how that fed into the numbers that you were talking about with how they fare against elite teams or the second level teams. You know, how those numbers skew if they were healthy or not or whatever. They obviously have them all tonight, although Dez is questionable and Ja is maybe diminished or whatever, some 90% version of himself. So there you go. I don't know if there's anything else particularly to say about tonight. Santi is the fourth best. I mean, Santi
is right
the fourth
now.
Player.
Yeah.
And you could make an argument that he's in the 100 or 120, like whatever, at
some
point.
Well, I think one of the reasons the Grizzlies, and I'm not privy to exactly what it would have taken, but I think among the reasons, and I wrote about this in the lead up to the deadline, I think among the reasons they didn't trade for Cameron Johnson is that they think that going forward, Santi Aldama might be better than Cameron Johnson, right? Like, you're probably not going to have them both if you trade for Cameron Johnson going forward with Santi headed to free agency.
All right, we did have – it really feels like scoreboard watching, you can do it in earnest, and it sort of matters. You had the Nuggets losing last night. They don't play well against good teams either.
Right.
And they lost to the Bucks. But you had the Lakers –
Nico Harrison, man, that dude screwed over everyone in basketball except for the Lakers and Laker fans.
He really did.
Was this really necessary? Come on, man.
What the hell? Do you think he's smarter than anyone
else? I don't know.
And
Patrick DeMond, I'll throw the owner in there too. Because ultimately something like that is an ownership level responsibility. Not just Nico Harrison. I don't know. And who knows? Maybe the Luka thing will, like, you know, because of the off-court stuff and the health, and maybe in 5 years, like, it hasn't turned out as good as the. But, like, right now, like, they only got LeBron James for so much longer, and now he's playing with Luka, you know? And like, now that team's legit. That team's legit, even though, like, they're starting Jackson Hayes at center, who, you know, that team is not good, but it doesn't matter because it is good because they have LeBron James and Luka Doncic playing together. And they can go 48 minutes and never have, you know, both of them on the bench. They can always have one on the court all the time. Yeah.
If you had, of the three teams that are hot on the Grizzlies have retaken second place. They're half a game up on Denver.
Yeah.
And then the Lakers and Houston, both a game and a half back. Who do you think is going to finish second? Who's more likely to overtake the Grizzlies of the group?
I don't think it'll be Houston. I don't take Houston as seriously both the rest of the – anything's possible. But I don't take them as seriously both the rest of the regular season and into the playoffs as I do the Lakers and the Nuggets. I'd have to look at the schedules. I know, broadly speaking, like, the Nuggets have a little bit harder – I think all three of those teams have quote-unquote hard schedules the rest of the way. So I really think it could go either way. I think the Lakers are the least likely because they got two games to make up, right? There's not that many games left.
Game and a half.
Game and a half, okay.
It's a game and a half. They're only a game behind Denver, which is Denver's a half game behind the Grizzlies. And then you got Steph going for 56. They are 7-1.
That's the team that's been rising up, you know, pretty quickly. And so they have a good chance to. They got to have their eyes on six and, like, not messing with the play-in. Like, that, they got a real shot at that.
I don't know if you heard this. The stat was that. Steph has now, on February 27th, scored 45 or more points. This is an artificial stat, of course. Scored 45 or more.
It's numerology.
Yes, it's numerology. You got to first make the cutoff 45, because that's the magic cutoff. Three times on February 27th, he has scored 45 or more. There are only two other players who have scored 45 more, who can claim days on which they've scored 45 or more. One is Elgin Baylor. His day is February 25th. The other is Wilt, who has 16 different days. That's just ridiculous. He's got 16 different days. Zion, by the way, Pelicans beat the Suns last night. Zion with a triple-double.
Zion's good when he plays basketball. The problem is that he doesn't really play basketball.
Memphis anyway? Wouldn't it be fun to have reunite Zion and Ja somehow?
It would be fun when they both played. Like the 15 games a year when you had them both on the floor. Sounds like a lot of risk.
I think that's it, Chris. You'll be there tonight. Nice to have you back in town.
Yep.
And you're standing. Then we got Tony Allen next week, right? This is a big stretch.
Yeah, a lot of games. A lot of, I think I'm going to be going to 8 home games over the next 2+ weeks. And I'm also going to go to both the road games, the Dallas and New Orleans. So a lot of basketball
for me. Have you been to Dallas to cover a game before?
I have not. I've been to Dallas for other things, but I've never been to a Grizzlies game.
And Tony's film is, I think, Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, they're debuting the film. They always do a terrific job on those. Did you ever get any clarity on this TV thing that they're doing?
No, I was driving all day. Okay. So I didn't.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Read his stuff over there. If you have anything that you need framed, go to the Frame Corner. Simple. That's easy. Hey, how do I get this framed? Go to the frame corner, Calkins said. He talks to people all the time who've gone to the frame corner. Again, this guy from Jones drove all the way from Jonesboro because his grandfather's arrowhead collection. He wanted to have it framed. How do you frame arrowheads? You take it to the frame corner. They've been doing it for 50 years in Memphis. It's the frame corner, specialize in custom framing. You can buy frames there as well. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Well, it's been an absolutely beautiful week. Oh, I've enjoyed it so much, and it's a perfect time to get into O'Call because this means that spring is on the way. See yesterday, Jeffrey, you had a golfer, two aces. Two aces.
Indeed.
Same round.
Yeah.
Same round. Spring is on the way, man. Mm-hmm. Hope springs eternal for all of us out there, and you can walk into O'Call right now, and it will be spring has sprung. Absolutely loaded with spring and summer merchandise. So maybe you're getting ready for spring and summer, or maybe you're headed off to somewhere warm. That's great. Freshen up your wardrobe, tailored clothes as well, sport coat for the Easter season that is coming. It is O'Call. Makes me feel good just to talk about it. Literally, as I said the other day, I was somewhere. This was when it was cold, just a week ago. And I walked in there. I walked into someone's house, and they said, "Oh, look at that! It's a Steo jacket." And it is. It was a Steo jacket. Steo is a they make beautiful fall and winter merchandise. They may make summer stuff too. But anyway, it's the exclusive distributor of Steo stuff at O'Call. It's just a world-class store. It is a world-class store with world-class people, world-class service. And right now, you can get in there and get ready for spring and summer because it is bearing down upon us, and I could not be happier. Sometime this weekend, sneak on off and see our friends at O'Call. All right, Jeffrey, we do have a lot of matters that we have not gotten to yet, including you're the Ole Miss guy here. You went to Ole Miss, right?
Grad school.
I don't even know if I want to. So this thing about Mary-Kate Cornett.
What thing?
What thing? Well, this is what happens. You go on Twitter or somewhere and you see people are talking about this thing. And you're like,
something is trending.
Something is trending. But what you don't do is talk about it as if it's true on your national TV show. And that is what Pat McAfee did. He did use the word allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
So now that she has threatened legal action, I don't know. I don't see how. He did say allegedly.
Mm-hmm. I would also say just threatening legal action doesn't mean that.
That you're filing a lawsuit.
Correct. And it also doesn't mean that the story's not true. It's a crisis management move.
Yeah. No, you know nothing about any of this. I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay.
I don't even want to talk about it. You people can look up, if you want, Mary-Kate Cornett and Pat McAfee. But it is, it's certainly trending.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly trending, Jeffrey. The weird thing about it was that he mentioned it when he had Schefter on.
Yes.
And Schefter was clearly blindsided by this, and it just kind of got off.
So it was Mary Kate's boyfriend.
So no.
Allegedly.
No. We are not going to be as bad as Pat McAfee. God. Okay, drop this. Moving on. Next, here is a mystery. Cue the music for the real mystery, Jeffrey. The real mystery is James Pierce. Okay.
Okay.
You're familiar with his work.
Indeed.
Defensive end from Tennessee. And we like the combine here, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're fans of the combine.
Maybe not so much this year, but we like, in general, we're pro-combine.
I'm warming to it now.
Okay.
He's 6'5", 245. That's what he measured. He's the Vol who was supposed to go highest in the draft.
Okay.
Right? Back in the day when Phil Fulmer was coach, felt like they had three first-round picks every year, right? This year, they're going to have James Pierce was at least projected to go into the first round. But he had this really interesting combine yesterday. He ran the fastest 40 of any defensive lineman, any edge rusher, any defensive lineman. 4.47 40 at 6'5", 245. That is faster just by comparison than A.J. Brown ran the 40.
Yep.
Okay? And you're like, damn, just made himself a bunch of money. He also had one of the worst verticals, 31-inch vertical. And the general feeling is that he hurt himself.
So not explosive would be the issue.
Well, supposedly, I mean, who knows what matters in what. But, right, they do, in addition to everything else, they do correlate. Like they say, which tests correlate more to long and successful careers in the NFL? And the vertical for a defensive end has a higher correlation than the 40. Because it's explosiveness,
that,
right?
I can see that. I would argue James hurt himself more on the football field this year. He wasn't, like, bad,
no,
he was
not as good as he was expected to be.
Yeah.
Okay, we can end that's the end of the James. That's the end of our mysteries here. We can pot down the mystery music. But anyway, it's interesting to see what will happen to James Pierce. Shamar Stewart blew up. And so what do you do with that, Jeffrey? He had a 4.59 40.
Yeah.
He had a 1.58 10-yard split. That's going to mean a lot to everybody out there. He weighs 270, 34-inch arms. That's good. Those are long arms. And compared, for example, to James Pierce, who had a 31-inch vertical, 40-inch vertical. He broad jumped 10 feet 11 inches. So he was an absolute combine machine.
Mm-hmm.
Freak.
So what seems to be the problem, Jeff?
Wasn't productive last year.
Mm.
Take compared to Chris Paul, the linebacker from Ole Miss, 6 foot, 222. He's basically a midget.
Mm-hmm.
And he has 30-inch arms. He can barely reach his coffee cup with mm-hmm. his 30-inch arms.
Yeah.
And he ran a 4.63 40. He's the linebacker from and he cost himself money.
Yeah. He's always, though, I felt like
he's just a football player.
Yeah, he's a production guy. But I mean, this is kind of the problem in the NFL. Production matters, but you do have to have a baseline of athleticism. And some guys can overcome it. I mean, famously, Jerry Rice never broke 4.6 in the 40.
Right, right.
But you get him on the football field, like Anquan Boldin, I think, had a terrible 40 time. Like, so some people can get past it, but there's a reason why we test this stuff.
Quarterbacks talking today.
Yeah.
What did our man Shedeur Sanders have to say?
So Shedeur's the comment that was that seemed to gain the most traction was about what he brings. Where did it go? He basically said, we turned around Jackson State. We turned around Colorado. Why can't we turn around an NFL franchise? It's history. It repeats itself.
Well, those are different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right? Like, I don't think... you like the confidence, right? You certainly expected confidence. I'll be interested. One of the things we worried about, or Deion talked about openly, was these guys aren't just going to go play anywhere. He's going to remember this early in the fall. We were talking about how he was going to control the process.
Sure.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I have heard nothing, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter, about him steering, about either of them not wanting to play somewhere. Have you?
No. I guess in fairness, it's still very early in the process. It's interesting to me that Travis Hunter, I think, is like unquestionably the best player, but it is amazing how much oxygen Shedeur soaks up.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Travis has been talking this week and he's doing the media rounds. It just doesn't make, anywhere near the headlines that Shedeur does.
Do we have any thoughts about where he might go?
So I spoke with the Athletics draft guy earlier this week. Neither one of us believe that they'll slip outside the top 10. But you do start to wonder, it just doesn't feel like anyone really loves either quarterback, right? Like, I feel like Matthew Stafford is a much bigger story in the quarterback world, yeah, and this like is draft that. Week.
Yeah, I think that's right. Seth Hennigan talking today.
Yep.
Frank Bonner is there from the Daily Memphian. And by the way, I just sent you a clip from Seth. I just texted you a clip from Seth. Can we get that on somehow?
Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, okay. Well, while you do that, I'll tell you some other things he said. Frank Bonner is there. You can follow Frank on Twitter/X. About Memphis, he said, it means the world to me just to be able to represent the U of M on the biggest stage here at the Combine. It's definitely an honor to be here. Just excited to put on a good performance and make some good impressions on scouts and people who make big decisions in the league. Frank has him asked him about the benefits of a 50-year career. It starts at Memphis. I'm not injury prone. I'm experienced and young. That's a pretty good combination. There's a lot to like about my resume and who I am as a quarterback. Contrasting that, by the way, interesting because the Louisville quarterback is experienced, not young, and so that's a distinction there. What does the city of Memphis mean to you? It means the world to me, said Seth Hennigan. It'll be interesting to see, and Rock Taylor's there as well. It'll be interesting to see quarterbacks throw tomorrow, I think, how people feel about Seth Hennigan coming out of this week. It's great that he's there. Big week, big weekend for Seth Hennigan.
All right.
This is Seth asked about – what happens is people ask about their own teams. Like, one of the things – it's both irritating and understandable. You ask all these players, who have you talked to? Who have you talked to? Who have you talked to? Have you talked to the Buffalo Bills? Have you talked to the Buffalo Bills, right? And so Seth Hennigan, being from Dallas, was asked about the Cowboys. Here's a clip.
Not formally, but informally.
Smoking with them. Denton, Texas kid, what would it mean for you to put that star on your helmet at the NFL level?
I think that would be an honor, really, to play anywhere, but the Cowboys, just Dallas, Denton, being just an hour away, that would be a really cool experience. I've been to their practice facility multiple times. I've actually walked inside there because my dad got an award for being a Texas high school football coach, and he got to walk around inside the facility, so he took me along with him. So that would be an honor for sure.
Family big Cowboys fans?
Relatively. My dad's from California, so
they're not. He's not giving him what he wants.
For sure. The interview process.
Thank God he's not a Cowboys fan. Thank God he's not a Cowboys fan. You can see the guy went into that interview like, I'm gonna write about future Cowboy, longtime Cowboy lover Seth Hennigan. Mm-hmm. Didn't turn out that way. Do you love to play for the Cowboys? Really any team. Really any team, he says. Good for Seth. Anyway. Then there's continued talk about, obviously, as you pointed out, Matt Stafford from the Combine. Any more theories there, Jeffrey?
Do we care about the alleged bump in at whatever, the Yellowstone Club with Brady?
Do I care about it? Yes, 100%. I mean, do I think, and this is part of yesterday, when I did a 180 and decided he was going to be traded, I just thought there was starting to be a lot of smoke around it. And if he, I mean, let's be honest. It doesn't really make sense for Matt Stafford to go to the Giants or the Raiders for the following reason. They stink, right?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense for Matt Stafford, if he wants to win, to go to either of those teams, okay? But we're looking at it from the outside fan perspective. If you're a fan of the, you're a Giants fan, if you're John Martin and you're a Raiders fan, you're like, why do I need old ass Matt Stafford? What I need to do is stink again and get Arch Manning next year or whatever else. Build the team. Get, you know, start building the infrastructure and then have a quarterback, a young quarterback when they're ready. What do both of those teams have in common? They have a short time frame for different reasons. The Giants have a short time frame window because their head coach and GM are going to get fired if they stink again this year. So even though you wouldn't think they would be in a rush, that they're in a rebuilding state, they're not, because they only have got a year. Okay, the Raiders, that's a different situation. They don't have someone who's going to get fired after this year, but know what they have? They got an old-ass coach. They got Pete Carroll, who is only in it, said it from the beginning, and is obviously very clear, he's only in it to win now. How long is Pete Carroll going to be there? Three years?
I think his contract was only like 3 years.
Yeah. So they both, weirdly enough, are teams that you would think would be rebuilding, but aren't actually rebuilding, and so therefore would be interested in Matt Stafford. So if you hear that Matt Stafford is, oh, isn't this convenient, bumping into Tom Brady in Montana. And by the way, there's not a lot of people in Montana. It's kind of harder to, you don't just bump into as many people, you know, like whatever. It's a lot of wide open spaces in Montana. And yet he's bumping into him in Montana. That is not an accident. And I think it's not, all of it may be drumming up, just him trying to drum up business, sure. But I think there's a real possibility that he ends up in either Las Vegas or New York.
I also find it interesting. We spent Tom Brady's entire playing career trying to call him out for breaking rules. And now his post-playing career, it's like we're going out of our way to be like, no, he didn't do anything. This doesn't apply.
No, you're exactly. Like, he's been a rule breaker. Yes. For this is no different than the inflated balls.
Yeah, but now, now it's like he's protecting the shield.
All right, there's a few things I want to get to before we sign off. Obviously, big weekend of sports. Knicks tonight. UAB Sunday, and we will be talking about it all day, and we'll be talking about it again, certainly, when we return Monday. But some things I did want to get to in addition to that. One is, shout out to Richard Ransom, ABC 24, who is announced that he is stepping away. He came here in 1994. Now, he left Milwaukee, I think it was, for a little while. Milwaukee, whatever. I think it was for a while. I came back. He originally, in 94, was at Action News 5. Recently, he's been at 24 and says he's stepping away to do other things. I've always admired his work, so wanted to wish Richard Ransom a farewell. Secondly, totally unrelated, we got Raising Cane's coming.
Oh, yeah.
We try to keep up on the fast food news here, Jeffrey. Raising Cane, there are going to be three Raising Cane's. The most recent is going to be that they've announced is on Winchester, a former Red Lobster. It is sort of interesting. Raising Cane's, there's one moving into Cordova, where it's a former Bed Bath & Beyond, and South Haven, where it's moving into a former O'Charlie's. What we see here is like...
repurposing.
Yeah, repurposing. A Red Lobster, a Bed Bath & Beyond, and an O'Charlie's are so yesterday, mm-hmm. right? Raising Cane in. Where's it going to enter? I'm going to just go ahead and trust that you've had it. Where is it going to be? Where is it going to rate in the chicken wars when it makes its grand appearance?
High. Maybe one.
Whoa!
Hot take. I wish we'd get rid of the Abners and make them all Raising Cane's.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how strongly I feel about Raising
Cane's. But you like Abners too.
I do, but I went
to the Crosstown Concourse recently,
yeah.
And my tenders were little.
I know. Ever since the franchising, and it's not. Mm-mm.
Is that they were little? They were little. Now the mm-hmm. I went to one here on the on Poplar recently, and those were different. They're much
once
more
upon
satisfying.
A time, the ponchos, Starbucks.
Yeah, it was a Starbucks that one. Okay, so enough of that. While we're on fast food news, in addition, I will tell you, and I'm sad we're not going to be on the air for this. Brings a tear to my eye. Sunday, National McMuffin Day is McMuffin Day because we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the McMuffin. If you have the app, which I do not, I have no food apps on my phone. If you have the app, how many food apps do you have on your phone?
Zero.
Really?
I mean, do you count Resy? Like the
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You don't have any.
Yeah. That's not true. Domino's.
Okay. So you got one. You can get an Egg McMuffin on Sunday for $1. And that's despite the incredible eggflation.
I mean,
right?
$1,
basically eggs now are worth, $20 each. And so that's pretty impressive.
My fraternity little brother, who is a connoisseur, does say if you get the McDonald's app, it is worth
save a lot of money.
He said you can get deals.
Like the sausage McMuffin with egg better, but I bet that's $1 too. I don't know for sure. Anyway, invented in 1972. It was invented. Well, okay. Food ideas. You don't think?
I would say
you know the Big Mac was invented?
Okay.
Created, imagined. Herb Peterson had the franchise in Santa Barbara, had a McDonald's in Santa Barbara. And he looked at the Eggs Benedict, the classic Eggs Benedict, right, that you have, which is an egg muffin, English muffin, ham, eggs, and hollandaise sauce. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to turn this into a breakfast thing. And so he basically did that. An English muffin.
I'm making this portable.
Ham. I'm making this portable. No, but he brought Ray Kroc in. He said, I got something I got to show you. And Ray Kroc said, what is it? He said, yeah, I'm not going to tell you. He wouldn't tell him because he knew he'd shoot it down. He wanted him there.
Smart.
And he brought him in and he presented it to him. When he first presented it to him, it was open face.
Like an
Eggs Benedict. And it was served with a little strawberry jam.
Mm.
And so they did have to tweak it. They put the lid on it. You can still get jam if you request it, but that's not how it's served. Anyway, it took off, and it became the start of the whole breakfast phenomenon, which is a absolute phenomenon. Now, it was...
Did we really not have fast food breakfast before
then? No, we didn't have fast food breakfast before then. That's what I'm saying. Sunday's the National Egg McMuffin. And then I also want to give out a shout to Rick Shadyac, who is wrapping up. He came here in 2009 as the CEO at ALSAC, the fundraising and marketing, basically, arm of St. Jude. I talked to him yesterday. And what he has done, St. Jude is now literally the number one brand in the world, the most beloved, trusted brand in the world. It was not that. It was great in 2009. It was not that. They were raising $600 million a year when he started. They are now raising $2.7 billion a year. And all that money, it goes into cancer research, obviously, saving sick kids, obviously. it also brings incredible amounts of talent and economic energy to Memphis. There are lots of physicians who, I know of a physician, he was at Penn. And at Penn, great university, but he had to raise all his own money. You know what I'm saying? He had to raise all his own money. And here, they set up the lab for you. They got, like, it brings incredible talent to Memphis, and he's always been motivated by, honestly, just saving sick kids. And so I can't applaud him for the work that he's done as CEO over at ALSEC. Before we go, I will tell you, if you're getting engaged, Robert Irwin would be the place to go to get engaged. There's literally no other place that I would send you to buy an engagement ring, diamond engagement ring, partly because they got the meant-to-be guarantee, whereby you got 365 days to return your ring if for any reason you do not want it, which gives you peace of mind. It can be nerve-wracking to buy that diamond ring. You go in there with an idea, a dream, a picture, whatever. They will create it. And by the way, great financing options as well. 24 months deferred interest or take up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, rijewelers.com. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Rob Doster joins their program during the first hour. Tim Murray will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. We will be back Monday for Now Work is Done.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.